Deuteronomy 32:15 is our text. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Our subject this evening is growing fat and lazy. That's obviously what Moses is describing here as he speaks in spiritual terms of a condition that he warns will develop among the people of God. The Lord employs various means to teach his people. And here he uses the words of a song. Moses is given the words, and we are told that he speaks all the words of this song in the ears of the congregation with the idea that they would learn the words and sing the words, and that they would find themselves from time to time singing over the words of this passage and be able to reflect upon the message of the inspired song that the Lord had given. Now, while it was a song, it was nevertheless serious divine instruction. It was just as much an inspired word from God as any other part of Scripture, a different form, in the form of a song, but nevertheless the very word of God. If you look at the words of the verses 44 and following, we read that Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do, all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And while, in a sense, what Moses has to say will refer to all that has preceded in the book, it's obvious in the immediate context that he is speaking of the song that he has just taught them. Here is serious instruction to which they are to set their heart, to learn, to practice, to benefit from. In the poetic language of the text, the Lord sets before his people a very serious danger that they must beware of. He uses the picture of an animal that no longer desires to work and won't work willingly, because it has grown fat and lazy on a rich diet. It has become overweight. It's become used to an easy life. And it kicks, kicking against the yoke, kicking against the goad, refusing to work willingly. That's the picture that is in view here in our text. Sadly, this is much more than just a picture. It is a representation of the reality that develops among the people of God. You see, Moses is speaking here of a real spiritual condition that develops very easily at any time and at any point in a Christian's life and experience. It's as easy as putting on weight. We know that, naturally speaking, we have to be careful about what we eat and what we do. We can very easily put on more weight than's good for us. And that's a real spiritual threat that we will consider this evening. But Moses here is speaking of a specific time in Israel's history when this is exactly what did happen. And they got so used to the good things that God had given them, and they rebelled against the Lord, and they paid the price for the rebellion. The history of Israel as the Old Testament people of God is littered with instances of this very condition developing. You have it repeatedly developing even in the days after Moses, in the days of the judges, when there were those cycles of sin, captivity, restoration, prosperity, sin, captivity, restoration, prosperity, so it went on. It's a condition that develops easily and indeed repeatedly in the lives of the people of God. And here Moses is speaking these words as a warning. He's telling them, and it is a prophetic statement. He's actually speaking here as it were, looking back on them having already rebelled against God. It was as certain as that. This is something that was sure to develop. Here is a real danger in the lives of the people of God. It will happen. It does happen. And he warns us against it here in these words that I trust we will pay attention to this evening. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. I want us to observe, first of all, the people that Moses gives this warning to. God is not speaking here to the heathen. He is not speaking to those who are ignorant of his ways. He is speaking in the historical context to Israel, to his own people. He is speaking to the people of God here. He refers to them as those who are peculiarly privileged by the Lord. Look at the name that he uses of them. The name Jeshurun, only occurring in a couple of other places in the Word of God. It is a poetic name for the people of Israel. It's actually what's known as a diminutive form of the word for righteous. And so the sense of the word seems to be a reference to Israel as God's righteous little one. The sort of diminutive terms that we use of a child. We might describe a little boy as a wee man, tenderly, affectionately. It's a sort of a little term that is filled with love and concern. There's a tenderness to it. And that's the kind of term that's used here. God's righteous little one. That's how he looks on Israel. A righteous people, but a little people, just a precious little people, almost like a child to the Lord. It's a term that brings into view the wonderful tenderness of God's justifying grace. The tenderness of God that reaches down to rescue a dying sinner. The previous verses speak of how God found Israel in a desert. In the waste, howling wilderness. He found him. He cared for him. He became God's righteous little one. And the mercy of God's justifying grace is brought into view by this particular name. It is a name, therefore, that speaks especially of Israel as a justified people. It will address those within the nation who were justified in that sense that they were God's own saved, redeemed people within the nation. It is a title that, as far as it embraces all of the nation of Israel, reminds us of the privileges of those who were within the nation as yet not true believers, as yet not redeemed and belonging to that Israel of God, though they were the seed of Abraham. It reminds us of the privileges that they had being exposed to the doctrines of justification, of being among a righteous people. That's how the Lord addresses the nation here, encompassing both his own people within the nation and all of the nation generally. Jeshurun, God's righteous little one. What a privilege to be justified. What a privilege even the ungodly have to be among a justified people and to have set before them the way of justification through faith in God's redeeming work. Here is a people peculiarly privileged by the Lord, the Jeshurun, a righteous little one. They were a people whose recent past had prepared them to be the very opposite of the condition that is in view here that Moses is warning about. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Well, that's a condition. Being spiritually fat and lazy is the very opposite of all that their recent past had prepared them to be. What Moses is warning here of is a condition that will involve this people going back on all they have learned, going back on all that God has taught them, because He has been preparing them, leading them, teaching them for years now to be the very opposite of what Moses is speaking of here. They were well accustomed to a strict and a severe regimen in life. They had lived for a long time in God's boot camp, preparing them for a life of special service in Canaan. But they stood in danger of going back on all that they had learned. Moses recognizes this. We could think of the physical preparation that they had experienced. And for all those years in Egypt, there had been, even in the regime of work and abuse that the nation had suffered, there would have been the preparation of a people in absolute physically peak condition. Strong, used to hard work. They had lived through the wilderness physically, a life of almost asceticism. The comforts of life were not there. While they had the manna, and they had quail, and they had water, their diet seems to have been a fairly plain diet. And they were a people that physically had been prepared even by those appetites and those experiences, naturally speaking, to be strong, to be lean, to be tough, to be ready to work for God in Canaan. That kind of regime has an effect upon the body, physically, even upon those in Israel at this time. They probably were the fittest, toughest generation that Israel ever saw and ever would see, because of the experiences that God brought them through. But those things had prepared them to be something for God in Canaan that now they were in great danger of losing. We can lose the benefits of all our past experience with God very easily. Just as someone who may go on a special diet and lose a lot of weight and get all nice and trim and fit, and then they give up on that program and they put all the weight back on again. So it is with us spiritually. We stand always in great danger of losing anything that we have gained by our past experience with God. If the Lord has brought us through tough times, and the lessons we have learned in those tough times we think we'll never forget, but we can. We can go back on them. We can become fat and lazy very easily. Spiritually, this people had been prepared to be something other than what Moses warns of here. If you go back to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, in the verse 2, you will find how the Lord speaks of the spiritual impact of all of these physical hardships. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, and so on. He goes on to describe the blessings that they would enjoy in Canaan. But the Lord had been preparing this people spiritually, even by those natural and physical hardships. There was a humbling of them. There was a teaching of them, a chastening of them, that they might learn that they needed to rely upon the Lord at all times. Their recent past had been conducive to them learning a lesson that would have prevented them from being fat and lazy, and yet Moses recognizes that this is still a real danger. This is a people just like any generation of God's people, any individual child of God. There can be a going back very easily upon all that we have learned, upon all that we have come to know. That's the people that Moses is speaking to here. They're the Lord's people. They're a righteous people. They're the people that have been prepared for service for God. And yet now, even as that day is looming for them, Canaan's just around the corner, the opportunity of a lifetime is going to dawn for them. And Moses recognizes that there is a grave danger, that even as the door of opportunity opens, they will forget all that they have learned and become fat and lazy and fail to do anything for God. We need to notice too what he says here, or what can be learned about the cause of this spiritual fatness and laziness. What is it that will make them to become like this overweight and lazy animal that is pictured in our text? We notice something strange as we think about this, because we have to think about the role that is played in this by the blessing of God. There is a role in all of this for the blessing that God gives to them. Verse 13 and 14, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Now, there is a description of the rich natural blessings and benefits that they would begin to enjoy and available to them in Canaan. Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be a time of rich blessing. They would enter into an experience of things that, for those who entered the land, they hadn't seen in their lifetime. They had never enjoyed such abundance, such plenty, such bounty as God suddenly and liberally set before them in the land of Canaan. Their diet and their lifestyle was to undergo a significant change in Canaan. Gone was the manna, gone was the wandering in the wilderness. Instead, they entered into a land that promised rich harvests, a land that was blessed with every natural blessing that God had given. Good times were coming, but blessing can always be dangerous. There is a danger associated with the blessing. Not that the blessing itself is at fault, because God in mercy and in grace gives only that which is good in itself. But you see, what Israel needed to learn, and what we must learn from this experience and this warning, is that it is our attitude and our response to the blessing of God that is vital in this issue. If you think of the natural illustration that is in view here, there's nothing wrong with rich food, so long as you're working to work it off. But the problem here was that the blessing of God and the rich things, the good things that God gave and could have been legitimately and properly enjoyed, were not accompanied by an increased level of service for God. That's why we put on weight naturally when we're taking in more calorific energy than what we're expending in work. So the body stores it as fat to be used at some point to fuel energy use. That's what happens naturally. And what happened here was that the people of God are envisaged in a state where they have become spiritually overweight. They have not been working as they should have been working. They have been dining on the rich diet of blessing that God has given, but they have not known that corresponding increase of activity for God in order, as it were, to work off that rich diet that God had given. You see, where the Lord gives blessing, It is with a purpose, not that we sit down and get fat. It is that we do all the more work in order to work off, as it were, the blessing that He has given. That's why God blesses His people. That's why God took Israel into Canaan, that there they would serve Him as they had never served Him before. If you like, the blessings of God that were given to them, these rich things, even naturally and spiritually, that He was showering upon them, were to be looked upon and regarded by them as opportunity and reason and resource to serve God like they had never served Him before. It's our attitude, our response to the blessing of God. If God gives good things, it's not that we sit down simply and enjoy them in a carnal, fleshly fashion. It's not that we take the blessings that God gives us and devote them to carnal ends merely for our own pleasure, for our own enjoyment. You can quite easily distinguish between eating in order to work and eating just for the pleasure of eating. And carry that over into the spiritual realm. And very often we are tempted to simply imbibe the blessings of God and to eat up the good things that God has given to us, whether spiritually or naturally, and just sit there and enjoy them and grow fat and lazy. But that condition that Moses is warning of here, this spiritual condition of becoming overweight and corpulent and fat and lazy, is simply an abuse of the blessing of God. It is an abuse of the blessing of God, as much as it is when we overeat physically and naturally. We are abusing the provision of food. We are abusing the appetite that God has given. We are putting it to a wrong use. And that's what Moses is warning of here. You need to be careful how you deal with the blessing of God. That you deal with the blessing of God and the resources that God has placed at your disposal, that you deal with them in a God-honoring fashion. They're not merely given simply for our own comfort, or for our own happiness, or for our own indulgence. God gave them Canaan, not that they might just sit down in a utopia, eat all that could be seen, enjoy all that could be enjoyed, and sit and do nothing for Him. That's not why God blesses His people. And if the Lord blesses you or me, whether it's with something in the natural realm, or whether it's with spiritual blessings, it is that we use those resources to fuel further acts of service for Him. We're thinking of why, the cause of this fatness and laziness. The simple answer is because they abused the blessing of God. There is always a readiness within us to abuse God's blessings and God's resources that He places at our disposal. There is always within us that tendency merely to put them to carnal use and to expend upon ourselves and upon our own comforts the resources that God has determined are to be used for Him. When we use time that God gives us or health that God gives us or whatever it may be, any other resource, spiritual or natural or physical, that God gives us, when we abuse it and merely use it for ourselves and forget that all that we are is to be used for the glory of God, that even when we eat and drink, it's for His glory. When we lose sight of that, then this condition will develop that Moses is speaking of. Something else that I'd like you to see here. We want to look at the evidences and the consequences of this state. When a people or an individual becomes spiritually overweight, fat, self-indulging, there will be a kicking against God's yoke. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. There will be an emphasis upon the flesh. There will be an emphasis upon carnality. An emphasis upon self. A spiritual bloating of self. Self becomes big. Self grows in importance. And just as in natural sense when we become overweight we get bigger, so in the spiritual self is enlarged, grows, becomes too big, unhealthily big, to the point where we can't work for God as we ought to work. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. There was a spirit of resistance to divine restrictions and to divine restraints that replaced the spirit of humble service. Picture an animal that had been used to pulling a plow or wearing the yoke, involved in some kind of work as it was the custom in former times. But now it is going fat on a rich diet and lazy. Doesn't want to wear the yoke anymore. Now wants a more comfortable sort of a job. Doesn't want the restrictions that are placed upon him by the owner. And you know that's the spirit that develops in the heart and life of many a Christian. It's the evidence of being fat and lazy spiritually. Don't want to work. And there's a chafing against the yoke. A chafing against the restrictions. Any of us that have maybe have put on weight at a time know what it is when your belt gets a little tight or your shirt just doesn't fit the way it you, and there's a chafing. It's not comfortable. And that's what happens. There's a discomfort develops. And a kicking out. A sort of an ornery spirit. My, that's a nasty thing when it develops in the heart and life of a Christian. They become ornery. And twisted. And they kick out at the restrictions and the restraints. And they're not comfortable in service anymore. And rebellion against the wishes of the Master is seen. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 25. They took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them, to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Disobedience and rebellion follows very quickly on this state of spiritual fatness. Self-indulgence, living only for carnal appetites, and there's a kicking, a rebelling against the restraints that God has placed upon his people. They forgot and they forsook God, verse 15. Then he forsook God which made him. Verse 18 tells us that before he forsook God, he had forgotten God. Unmindful of the rock that begat thee and forgotten the God that formed thee. It's interesting. Verse 15 speaks about the most basic view of God that it's possible to have. A most basic relationship of an individual to God, that relationship of Creator, and even that was forgotten. He forsook God, which made him. There was a forgetting of that very foundational, almost we could say elementary, principle of the knowledge of God, that God had made them. They forgot that. They forsook it. They abandoned that truth because it now didn't fit in with the mindset that was concentrating upon self. You can't concentrate upon self and just greedily gobble up for your own carnal enjoyment the resources that God places at your disposal and remember that God is your Creator. Because one is a proud, arrogant attitude and the other is the attitude of humility and meekness and fear. Look at verse 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Oh, what fools they showed themselves to be by living only for this self-indulgent spirit, kicking against God, forgetting their Creator. Had the Lord not taught them in all their journey through the wilderness that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's dependent upon God for his life. He's dependent upon the decrees of God for those provisions, even for the body and for physical life. You can't afford to forget God. It's a foolish thing to do. And yet this self-indulgent spirit that Moses is warning of against here, it's one of the very first consequences, is that there's not only a forgetting of God, but an abandoning, a forsaking of God. And this in turn leads directly to idolatry of all kinds. That's why idolatry came into Israel. Why? They forgot the Creator. They forgot God. And so you'll see that in the verses that follow, verse 16, immediately there is a reference to strange gods and to devils, to gods that they knew not, new gods that came newly up. They forgot God, they turned to other idols and even to devils. Now that's always the evidence and the consequence of this spiritual fatness, this self-indulgent carnal living that was such a grave danger here for the people of God. There's going to be a turning away from the Lord. Where that spirit begins to develop, it inevitably ends in the individual turning away from the Lord and other things taking the place of God in our lives. Something else that he refers to in verse 15, he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. There is a light view, a flippant, casual view of God their Savior. That's the idea in the title here. The rock of his salvation, the foundation of his soul, the hope of his salvation, the basis of his security. They forgot God as their Savior. They forgot that they were reliant upon the strength of the Almighty to deliver and to recover them. They had a flippant view of God. They showed contempt for the Lord and for the deliverances that he had shown in the past. There was a spirit of supreme self-confidence. We don't need God. We don't need a rock to lean on. We don't need God's deliverance. There was a carelessness. Moses uses an interesting word here, a verb that's translated lightly esteemed. It's a verb that primarily means to act like a fool. It's the Hebrew verb that gives us the name Nabal, a fool, folly. And what he's simply meaning that is that when we lightly esteem something, we're looking at it the way a fool looks at it. An ignorant fool looking at something is not going to discern any value in it. What a foolish thing it is to place such a value upon God. But that is the foolish thinking of those that grow fat through self-indulgence, spiritually speaking. They place the value on God that the fool places on him. They have a view of God like the wicked. You ever talk to a Christian? You talk to them about the things of the Lord, and maybe you have to overcome a little reluctance on their part for them to even to speak about the things of God. But they talk about God, and they talk about Him in the cliches that the world uses of Him. They don't have any better terminology than the ungodly use of the Lord. They have a view of God that lightly esteems Him. It's the view of a fool. Well, you see, that's the view of the carnally minded. That's the view of the self-indulgent. That's the view of a Jeshurun who waxes fat. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, in the verse 29, these two ideas are remarkably brought together. 1 Samuel 2:29, the record is of God's rebuke of Eli and of the abuses of worship that were occurring in the tabernacle under his watch, led by his sons. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering? But which I have commanded in my habitation. And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. When you get to the sacrifice, you're getting to the heart of the Old Testament gospel message. You're getting to the representation of Christ's saving work. Here's the rock of their salvation in the sacrifice. And they're kicking at it. They're trampling it underfoot. They have a light view of it. And they have that view because of that self-indulgent spirit that was abroad in the priesthood, making themselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people. Using the resources that God had legitimately placed at their disposal, abusing them to grow fat and to indulge their own carnal lusts and desires. And in doing so, they kicked at the sacrifice, lightly esteeming God's salvation and God's redemption. It's the view of a fool, but it's the view of those who indulge the flesh and become fat, spiritually speaking. Before we finish, we need to point out one other consequence of this state. We have concentrated our thoughts on the verse 15 and noticed the consequences that are referred to there, consequences in the life of those who become fat. But there's one more that we would be remiss not to pay attention to. And it's stated in the verse 19 through the many verses that follow. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. You can't grow fat spiritually, grow lazy, grow rebellious, grow disobedient, grow self-indulgent, grow proud, indulge a view of God that is the view of a fool without God withdrawing. You're going to indulge self. You're going to indulge the appetites of self. You're going to abuse the blessings that God gives. You may be sure that before very long, God will withdraw and he will withdraw his blessings with it. That's what Moses warns of at great length here. We don't want to take time to go through all of the verses and look at all of the details. But at great length, Moses explains the consequences of God withdrawing from them. God being against them. While they were ready to work for him, while they maintained that battle-ready state, that work-ready condition, properly using the resources that God gave them and the blessings that he bestowed upon them to fuel and energize work for him, he was among them. He would continue to bless them. But as soon as there was a turning to abuse God's blessing and indulge those things only for the pleasures of the flesh, and for simple and personal enjoyment and indulgence of carnal appetite and thinking, the Lord was on his way out. They were on their way to losing the presence of God. You can't forget God and God just stay around. You can't forsake God and the Lord continue to bless. Where there is a forgetting, a forsaking, a kicking against God, a lightly esteeming of him and his salvation, the Lord is not going to be there. And that is the reality that Moses is warning of here. The awful consequences of growing fat, as Jeshurun did in this text. It is a warning that I trust we will heed. We will learn from the example that is set before us here in this passage and in many other places in Scripture. That's what did happen many times over the course of Israel's history. Right up to the time of the captivity. They were carried out of the land. They grew fat and kicked. May the Lord keep us from it. And if he has blessed us, give us the wisdom to put those blessings to the use that he would desire us to put them to. They're not given merely for our enjoyment. Our enjoyment of God's blessing is really only an incidental thing. It's just like you enjoying a meal so that you can be strong to go out and work. Nothing wrong with enjoying it. But the enjoyment is not the real reason why you're eating it. So it is with the blessing of God. May the Lord give us that wisdom and that grace and humility and the spiritual state of mind to recognize if God has blessed me in any way, it is that I turn that resource to good use to serve him. May the Lord indeed give us that wisdom and keep us from growing fat and lazy and losing the blessing of the Lord.